don't need to turn that off, do I? So anyhow, I've been reading this study, and you know, there's lots of things in it that just kind of baffled me, and it's like, okay, everything the man says makes absolute sense. And it makes sense in the standpoint that we're not just grasping. He's went back through centuries of writings that are still accessible. And he has gone back through rabbis, the rabbi teachings and writings and such, and he's pulled information from there. When I grew up, I was always under the impression December 25th, 1 AD, was when Jesus was born. Yeah. That wasn't it. And Joseph has gone in and he's done deep studies. I'm not going to tell you the rest of his name because I want you to listen to me. It's like reading the end of the book because it is a book. And I will give him full credit for all the hard work he did. But he also, he's utilized resources such as Jonathan Cahn. Many of you know him. He's a Messianic Jewish rabbi. He's seen on many, many programs that you've watched. Studies and writings that they've done because they understand the Jewish traditions. They understand what was taking place. And there were things that I even read in there, and I was like, Lord, you know how many times I've read over and just went, I don't need that. What's that matter to me? Well, it mattered to somebody because they figured out the key. Everything in your Bible is there for a purpose. Don't ever, that doesn't mean anything. God didn't bring it to their memory to write it down for no reason. So, we're going to start looking at the dating of the birth of Christ. I will not be telling you today the date, because there is much more information. And some of it just kind of blew my mind. I mean, I'm trying to tell Angela this and I'm getting excited. And I'm also trying to stay on track because, you know, I got that little bit of that attention deficit. It's like, oh. And 2 hours later, I'm like, oh, I got off the message. So again, the traditional date of December 25th, 1 AD is nowhere in your Bible. Nowhere. Now, I've heard people say, well, if it was in the winter, they couldn't have traveled. Has anybody ever sat down and done a parallel examination on a map and a globe to see where Jerusalem in that area is? It's Georgia in our map. It don't snow that often in that parallel. When I was in Ukraine, it was just like being over here. The weather was the same. We were having the same weather everybody else was having. The soil was very similar. As a matter of fact, it's the breadbasket. That's one reason why Russia wants it back so bad. They produce more food than anybody over there. But, so it wasn't just the fact that it would have been winter. It wouldn't have been all that bad. It still wouldn't have been fantastic. I've been in tropical zones when it's supposed to be winter and it rains, but it's still warm. Now, the Persian god Mithra, known as the god of light, was said to be born out of Iraq on December 25th. The Roman emperor Aurelian, AD 274, established the festival of Dies Invicti Solis, the day of the invincible sun. Want to guess? December 25th. Constantine, the Emperor Constantine, he's the one that got saved in the 4th century. He's also the one that started making life a little bit easier for Christians. We weren't fed to the lions anymore. But he was also known for bringing in, making everybody happy. Emperor still had to make people happy. And so he, prior to this, adhered to Mithraism up to the point of his reported conversion in the 4th century, which is believed to be about 325 AD. Now, Also, there's Greek roots for celebrating a festival at the end of December in honor of Dionysus, the god of wine. The Romans celebrated Saturnalia in honor of Saturn, the god of time. So there were false pagan religions who celebrated things on the same day. Well, I just don't believe that we did that. We absolutely did it. The tree is totally pagan. Half the garbage we do is pagan. Half the stuff we do in our services came from somewhere else. The Jews aren't exempt from it. Three of their months that they have are at, one of them is actually, Tammuz, is actually a Babylonian god. But they named a month. There's no faith, no religion on the planet that is void of being affected by something else. We create, we take it, and we make it ours, right? I grew up back in the 80s when Christians were, if you listened to rock and roll, period, you were going to hell, and Christians couldn't rock and all this stuff. But if you dare give the, we call it the rock salute now, right? Back then it was called the satanic salute. People gave it. Oh, you're going to hell, going to hell. Well, now it's not even that. It has totally changed. And so it's like, okay, that changed. Well, at one point, radio was of the devil because people didn't understand it. Well, the church grabbed hold of the radio pretty quick when they realized they could reach more people. Some realized they could reach more people. Others may have realized they could make more money. The wrong reason to be preaching. Some things have been taken. Today, we use the tree to represent eternal life. And we decorate it. Candy canes, I've never heard any other story than it was a candy maker wanting to honor God in a time in which their faith was being persecuted. It was shaped like a shepherd's crook. Three stripes, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. There are many things that were developed to keep the faith going. We accepted things. I do not accept things to bring other people in, per se. I like rock and roll type music. I will not deny it. I'm a headbanger with a country boy heart. But I'm very picky about what I'm listening to. Lost my place. Both were celebrated around the solstice, which is the shortest day of the year, usually around December 21st. I love December 21st. I love the winter solstice because it's the shortest day of the year. It means that December 22nd is a little bit longer. So from now until December, the solstice, we're going to get shorter. I like light. I don't know how many of you get home and you sit down and you finally come in the house and you're like, oh man, I'm just so tired. You sit down, like it's 5:30. I'm like, Lord, why is it in the summer? I just keep going till 9. Light matters. When the Julian calendar came about in the first century AD, about AD 46, solstice was declared by law to be celebrated December 25th, this becoming a Roman celebration. Now, if you're still confused as to why the Roman emperors and why Rome tradition matters, because in about 300 AD, the whole church became the Roman Catholic Church. It would be many, many years later until people like Martin Luther said, enough is enough. You're wrong. Menno and Amon, two names that mean nothing to any of us usually, until you realize that Amon is the father of the Amish and Menno is the father of the Mennonites. They actually rebelled. They were rebelling against the religion. Unfortunately today, both of them are very steeped in their religion. They no longer read the word because it's written in old German. I think you had an old German Bible, didn't you? A couple years ago, we sold it at the family. They can't read it. Half of these Their bishops don't know the word. They're selected by a straw, and that's that. And you're suddenly the bishop. You don't know anything about God, but yet you got to teach people about God. That's why they believe that if you work and you have a hard life, you're saved. That's not what the word says at all. That's why when they get the word and they sit down and they can read it, they usually find Jesus Christ and they go buy a car. Because anymore, half of them have cell phones. They're just hiding them. It is very difficult to determine the first time Christmas was celebrated as December 25th. Nobody has a for sure clue. We can get ideas and guesses, but guess what's happened in 2,000 years? Documents have been destroyed. And so unless you find things written, like the Dead Sea Scrolls, the church, some of the church today, people that I consider peers, still to this day fight. Well, we can't, that's not scripture. Technically, neither is the New Testament. Paul never called it scripture. He said the law. And I'm sorry about my voice. It's going to be all over the place. I'm evidently going through another puberty. But we kicked those writings out. Well, we don't understand them. Okay, how many of you have put something together, a piece of furniture here lately, looked at the instructions and said, I fully understand those. They made them as simple as possible. They're pictures now. You just got to put... But then you look at the piece you got, and it's not like that. Well, that's what's happened. We've rejected real knowledge. I've taught for a long time things that I've read out of the book of Enoch. Well, you can't trust that, brother. Listen, I'd rather trust that than some TV preacher telling me that the Holy Spirit told him that this is what's real when it's not got any factual backing anywhere in the Word. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells me that by every two or three witnesses, let every fact be established. Every fact. So two people can't say, well, the Holy Spirit told me and the Holy Spirit told you. It's not going to be the same source. He's going to have writings. Be a vision, possibly, by somebody who has absolutely nothing to gain. It's generally agreed that somewhere in the 4th century was when it started, sometime after 300 AD. Eastern churches celebrate the birth, the Magi, and the baptism on January 6th. Well, we had another event happen in this country on January 6th. But most Christians celebrate December 25th. We do. And again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with celebrating the birth of our Savior. In the Bible, not one writer mentions us celebrating his birth. Not one, that we were to celebrate it. However, Jesus himself told us how to celebrate his death. Paul reiterated that in 1 Corinthians 11:23-26, that we were to remember the death. Of all the things he would talk about, why the death? Because it was the death that atoned us. Now, a good reasoning human would say, okay, well, if we didn't have the birth, we wouldn't have the death. Absolutely right. But he didn't tell us to celebrate that. He told us to celebrate the death. The death is the one thing, the one event that has never been in question. Because it was easy to follow the feasts. We know it was before Pentecost. We know that it was just before Passover. And we know that it was a time that certain leaders were in control. For the first 3 centuries of Christianity, Christmas was not a part of the church calendar. For 300 years. Some church fathers, like Origen of Alexandria, who lived between 184 and 253 AD, argued such celebrations were for pagan gods. Reformed traditions are mixed. Puritans in particular were against said tradition, citing that it was not celebrated the first 300 years, and that it was a Roman Catholic tradition. Back in the day, the Roman Church got very corrupt. There's no other way to put it. It was extremely corrupt. They had their own army they set and raised up kings, and they brought them down too. That's corruption. They fathered children when they said they didn't have children. But we won't go down that path. But not all were against it. John Calvin in 1551 wrote to a Swedish pastor encouraging the observance. John Calvin's done a lot. They call him Calvinist. Somebody actually called me a Calvinist. I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about, because I really don't care. I don't care about the religious. If somebody writes something that's truth, it's truth. Well, you use this, so you must be a Calvinist. You know what? It's a source of study. I also use Wikipedia sometimes. What's that make me? A Wiccan? No. But John Calvin wasn't against it. The English Puritans in 1644 banned the practice as pagan and Roman Catholic. They finally got around to it. It was to be seen as a stepping forward in renewing or in removing anything not directly commanded or reported in Scripture. So, we have today, there's lots of people, and for a long time, they've still been preaching circumcision. I'm not here to argue one way or the other. I know it's still a common practice. But it's not usually done on day 8. Because they give them a vitamin K shot, and it has the same effect as being done on day 8. I know grown men who have gotten circumcised in their 50s. And 60s. You thought it hurt when you a little guy. This guy that I knew, he was bow-legged for 2 weeks. Couldn't wear clothes. Why? Why would you wait that long? Well, he was trying to fulfill something. Somewhere along the line, he got it in his head he had to be circumcised for Christ. There's health reasons that people talked about. You can look it up yourself. But we cannot sit here and say, well, it's not in the Bible, so therefore we're not going to have it. Well, neither is eating a ham on Easter. Has anybody ever thought about that? Okay, we want to be as pure as we can to Easter, which if we're going to be pure as we can, it's not Easter. That's Ishtar. Why are we eating pork that God strictly forbid? Oh, it's redeemed. Yes, absolutely it is. We do call it Easter. It's not about little cute fuzzy bunnies and duckies. Man, I got bunnies all around all the time. It's not about the flowers coming up. It was about a brutal assassination and execution. It's about the redemption of mankind. And that story does begin with a celebration of life. In 1649, King Charles repealed the ban. Took him 5 years, but he said enough is enough. Why? Why did King Charles repeal it? He got enough pressure from people. He's like, okay, we're not gonna do this anymore. What would happen today if the body of Christ actually stood up? Said enough is enough. Hollywood, you're done. I will put a plug in here for Angel Studios. They've made some great movies, The Sound of Freedom being one of them. Anytime you find out there's one, go to it. What are you telling Hollywood? Celebrities are leaving Hollywood because it got too weird. It's about time. It's about time the church starts to have an influence. But brother, we need preachers as politicians. No, we don't. Preachers have a job. We need men of God, women of God, to stand up and do what they're supposed to do and be an influence. All right. In America, after the 1830s, when Puritanism was largely thrown off, Americans began to celebrate Christmas with a mix of Dutch and English traditions. 1830. Oh, we've celebrated forever. No, not really. 200 years about this point. For us, that does seem like forever. Also, there's no year zero in the Julian or Gregorian calendars. No year. It went from 1 BC to 1 AD. Got to get my addendum page. I got ahead of myself. Most modern theologians insist on a year before 4 BC and as early as 5, 6, or 7 BC for the birth. That's theologians. The problem with some theologians is they don't care about what history actually is. Well, we got to have this time right here. There's certain dates in our world we need to look at. We need to focus on. One of them for modern times is Israel, when Israel became a nation again. I think I know I've shared this before with you, but Israel, May 1948, when they became a nation. If you go back into the Hebrew calendar and you start counting forward, in the year 1948, Abraham was born. Is that a coincidence? And it's two different calendars. God justified it across the board. Why? Because that's what we use. I know Hebrews use their calendars, but the government of Israel uses the same one we do. They have this, but it's still in spite of early church writers in support of a birth after 4 BC. This is where it gets confusing to me. He was born before Christ? Again, Israel's timeline was different. God doesn't march by the Julian or the Gregorian. Why confusion? Well, it's largely due to a scarcity of historical records from 6 BC to AD 4. Lots of things happened. People quit writing. And if you want to say that, well, you know, we just record the history, the facts. Joe, have you ever come across a history book that didn't tell the whole story? And by the way, some of them are in our educational system. Some of them are in the body of Christ. I remember in the 80s, I heard a name I'd never heard before, and it excited me because I do like history. Josephus. Anybody heard of him? His Book of Antiquities. He was a historian. And he wrote, recorded history centuries before he was even born. But they get up to a certain point, and he's off a little bit on his dates, but he gets up to a certain point in history when he'd have been alive, there's no mention of certain people. Even though other sources verify those people were alive. Even historians are subject to prejudice. I don't like that person, therefore they did not exist. It's nothing uncommon, folks. Do you know how many kings and pharaohs of Egypt they have tried to figure out, oh, wait a minute, we see this name, but there's nothing else. And then they find out, well, what happened was He was replaced by this king. This king went in and had his name removed from everything official, as if he did not exist. Even though he still did. Also, the lunar eclipse. Most of us don't know. The lunar eclipses were marked many things, and they can be verified. Solar eclipses, lunar eclipses, movement of the planets. All this can be verified through programs today. But the problem is, Josephus recorded that Herod died. Was it just before an eclipse? Well, the one he gives would have happened March 13th, 4 BC. And that is the one that is commonly used for Herod's death. However, again, he was already off on his timeline, and he was a little prejudiced against certain Hebrew writers. And they record something a little different. They record one that took place on January 10th, 1 BC, that had memorable events around it. And it is now believed by many historians who are writing today and finding this out to believe that that was the one Josephus was actually referring to. And it fits better with the historical events and records. God has always backed what he has said. What we do, everything is backed. We have to look for it. We have to spend the time searching for information. How many of you have done your own family trees? You spent some time looking, didn't you? I know Bob just did it and he had it compiled and all this stuff. Got this book that's like this. I had an uncle one time, he got all those, just give us our name and we'll trace your family history. Well, he gave him his name and they sent us back his thing, and it had nobody that we recognized in our family, even from his father. Because it took everybody on the planet that had that name. It's like, how many people can that be? Well, Irish are prolific people. So it was a lot. But you know it takes time. You got to get years. You got to get dates. You got to get names. One of the common problems was they named their children after an ancestor. Remember John the Baptist? Well, that name isn't in your family line. Why are you calling him John? My dad's name is Arthur. Arthur Smith. He's named after his doctor. Believe it or not, I found a picture of that man. There's a picture. I told my dad, I said, you know who this is? He's like, no. He said, that's the doctor that delivered you. The one that was waiting to sign your death certificate. And then turned around and signed your birth certificate. I said, that's your doctor. He didn't die until 1989. But I'm named after my father. And an uncle on my mom's side. Those names don't show up anywhere else but right here. But the name Jim shows up many times. I don't know if Arthur or June would have been better because my great-grandfather's name was Junie. I think if it had been Junie, I'd have been like the boy named Sue. I got this funny feeling. Now, it should be insightful for modern teachers to utilize writings of scripture, early church leaders, and historic writings, both the church and secular. But we don't do that. Well, it doesn't say that in the Bible. We don't use everything that the Hebrews use either. The Hebrews obviously taught out of the book of Enoch. Today, the modern church, well, you can't trust it. Oh, for crying out loud. Yeah, there's things I don't understand. I'm not teaching it as scripture, I'm teaching it as history. There's things even in our own history in this country. I do not fully understand why it took place, but it did. Not one church scholar in those times who were able to access the ancient libraries in Alexandria, Pergamum, Caesarea, and Rome stated that Jesus was born in the time frame 7 BC to 4 BC. Not a one of them. The Library of Alexandria had nearly 500,000 scrolls. Think about the history that's gone. It was burned. There's so many things that were lost, but some of them went there, and they did this regularly. They'd catch a ship just like we would catch a plane. They'd catch it, and they'd go, and they'd spend months poring over historical documents. And they'd write this stuff down. This is all important stuff. I know it's not. Woohoo! Look at what we've learned. This is the stuff that we need to keep on the foundation, to keep understanding why we're off. And understand that God has a timing. Because even in that, there were certain things that took place. We are going to look at the astrological signs. And there's one that I shared with you years ago, that this was it. And after reading this guy's study, that was not it. It was a predecessor to it. It foretold of what was coming, but it was not the star that led the Magi to the Christ child. There are things that we do know. We have pretty good indicators. One of them being the lunar eclipse. One of them being traditions. We tend to forget traditions and we go back to what we do today. Anybody ever think about how long it actually took when Lincoln died? You see the signs, don't you? Got the big L, red, white, and blue. Lincoln Highway. Think about the procession. Today, somebody passes. We've got 3-4 days, or we can refrigerate them, put them in coolers, formaldehyde. But we don't have the time. Even in Jesus' own death, there was a certain amount of time they had to process. They had to clean him. But they had to do it super fast because they needed him off that cross. Timing matters. Even in that, it mattered. The time that he died mattered. Why? Because it's written. There are certain things, like I said, after reading this guy's study, I was like, wow, I missed that. So next week, we are going to look at more in depth. We're going to look at the timing of John the Baptist's birth and how it relates to Jesus' birth. We're going to get into that. We're going to understand a little bit more because you have to understand more about his father, too. That's why I brought up Zacharias. His father was a key piece that's been missing. Well, it's not been missing. It's been right there. I also believe the Holy Spirit reveals things in timing. Because I believe Jesus Christ is returning. Or as you were, he's going to call the church. And we're going to go up. We're going to meet him. We're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then we get to come back with him for his second return. Well, I don't believe it. Well, then you don't believe the scripture says, and he returns with 10,000s and 10,000s of his saints. Those ain't angels. That's us-ins. And we get to do that because of this birth. And that should be our number one reason. Oh, and why we give gifts. And why he received the gifts that he was given. We're going to look at that. We're going to look at the Magi. The study that I'm looking at, folks, I've looked at it. I'm like, these are facts. These are the truth. Because you have to know the history. He even pinpoints the time within the hour. Oh, I don't believe you can do that. You absolutely can if you understand traditions. And I understand why God didn't let us celebrate that day. And it had nothing to do with what people think. And when I share that, you'll know. But understand something. I'm not against Christmas. I want us to celebrate for the right reason. It was what Jesus came to do. And it's important for us to know what took place. Yes, sir. And that is the truth. Yeah. There's some new studies and stuff on that. Y'all think we aren't seeing the end times right now? I'll hit you with this because I was watching a study with Angela, and I will wrap up. I was watching a study with Angela, and the guy was talking about the AI. And just then and there, I mean, I've been thinking about this because how many of you have seen these mashup songs where they'll take, I saw one the other day, it was George Strait doing Inner Sandman. George Strait never sang that, but that voice is George Strait's. Because they took AI and they took his voice, his tones, his mannerisms, and that computer generated that sound. They've got stars and performers doing things and saying things they never said. One of the signs of the false prophet is he will create an image of the beast and bring that image to life. That image will speak. Are you seeing something right now? Yeah, so we're seeing this stuff, and it has to be fed with information that we're giving it. I don't know how long it'll be before it becomes like one of those movies, the iRobot, one where the thing starts thinking for itself. But, yeah. Well, Pastor, why do you think all this stuff happened in Hollywood? We're seeing it. Who do you think told them? It's the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit that was in Jesus' time. They've been prophesying the thing the whole time. But we're not going to lose our stuff. How's that? We're not going to lose our minds. We're just going to be saying, oh, wait a minute. My Jesus told me this was going to happen. Jesus said this will happen. He said, when you see certain things happening, hold on. By the way, he said you will see certain things happen. So many people have said, oh, we're getting out before we ever see any of that. It's here now. I'm watching Jerusalem. All right, let's stand. And I believe that many of the prophecies that will be brought forth about things that are real. I'm not changing my life because of a prophecy. I watch it. I'll keep it in the back of my mind, just like Joseph and Mary did when Jesus said things to them. They just kind of put it in story and said, let's hold on to that. Watch it. Because there's things going to be happening. And the number one thing that I'm going to tell you, whether it be prophetic or not, is the Bible says that before the return, Elijah, well, in his time when he was born, we had John the Baptist. And what did he tell people? Repent. He was telling the church then to repent. He's telling the church today, repent. I was reading this morning in 1 Corinthians, and Paul talked about sectarianism. How we look at each other, and well, we don't celebrate the way you do, so you're wrong. Listen, is Jesus your Lord? Is he the only way to heaven? Yes. Amen. I don't care if you take communion every Sunday. I don't care if you wear collars up to here. I don't care. Jesus, as the Son of God, the only redemption, is the only fact that matters. And if we're still fighting over stupid things, doubtful things, as Paul called them, we're in trouble. Because we missed the point. I don't care if I don't have windows in this building except right there. Does anybody know why I don't? Safety? I got doors if there's a fire. Fire extinguishers. You can't break in. And they leak. Yeah. And anybody volunteering to wash all the windows? I didn't think so. So, there's certain reasons. I'm not into tradition. Like I said, there's so much stuff I don't know because I don't care. It doesn't affect my daily walk with Jesus Christ. That's all there is to it. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you once again, Lord, for your mercy. Lord, for your compassion towards us. Father, I pray now that as we enter into this season, Father, our hearts will remain tender to you. Father, we will listen to you, Father, that we will, if somebody needs help, we will help. Not because it's Christmas, but because it's right. Father, I thank you that you're moving. You're moving in all of our lives. Father, you're leading us, you're guiding us. Father, you're bringing about the miracles that we have asked for. Lord, I thank you. And I thank you once again for that eternal gift of life that you brought through a little town in Bethlehem. Now, Father, I thank you for your people. Lord God, they are now the apple of your eye. Not because we became Jews, but because we are now grafted into the vine. We are now grafted into the family of Abraham because of what Jesus did. Father, I thank you that you're going to move in their lives, Father, that you're bringing about the life, the understanding, Father, the strength that they have been seeking. Bless them now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.